We welcome the owner of the Silver and Black, Mark Davis, to the flagship. Mark, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, JT. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it. We got a lot to cover. I'm going to jump right in. And before we get into a timeline, I want to start off with you. At any point when your dad was alive or when you became owner, were you encouraged that you could get a deal done in Oakland?
There was one time that things were moving along. We were pretty close to a deal with Colony Capital. And that was, I believe, the summer of 13 into the summer of 14. And we were really close on a term sheet. And the city and county at that point in time signed a 10-year lease extension with the A's. And it basically the Colony Capital deal unraveled at that point in time.
So when were you?
That was probably the closest we came.
Okay. When were you first concerned that a deal in Oakland wouldn't or couldn't be made?
Well, you know, I think we tried all the way along. There were two times where we actually filed for relocation. So there's actually two instances when we really felt that nothing could be done. The first time was when we filed to move to Los Angeles. That was a process that was, we were in the middle of negotiating with Floyd Kephart. That deal was going on while we were talking with Los Angeles at the same time. And we made a deal with the Chargers. And in that deal with the Chargers, in moving to Carson, it was in our contract with the Chargers that if either one of us were able to get a deal in our home markets in San Diego or Oakland, then the deal that we had was off and we would go to our own home markets. And so it came down to a meeting with National Football League and the city of Oakland, and we were in the meeting. And the city of Oakland didn't bring a proposal to the meeting. They brought a 5-page letter that just basically spelled out the nice things about Oakland but didn't make us a proposal. So in the interim of that prior, so at that point in time, we decided that we would file for relocation officially. And one of the people that was negotiating for the city of Oakland made the statement that, well, we'll just wait for the Raiders to lose the ability to go to L.A., and then they'll come back, and we, the city, will have all the leverage. So we went ahead, and we went for the vote for Los Angeles. And it didn't go our way, obviously. And we came back to Oakland and began negotiating a 1-year lease with 2 1-year options and came up with a fair deal that we felt would give us an opportunity to work long-term with the city of Oakland and to come up with something that might be permanent.
Mark Davis is our guest. Mark, let me ask you, different mayors and city officials granted overlapping leases for both teams. Do you believe that the city should have worked harder to encourage the A's to get their own standalone ballpark so you could focus more on a football-only stadium at the side of the Coliseum?
No, JT, I don't look at it that way at all. In fact, my feeling was is if the A's did want to be on that site, the Oakland Coliseum site, to just let us know that we did feel that selfishly we'd like to have it to ourselves, but that if the A's were okay with building there with us, that what we wanted to do was tear down the Coliseum, put in all the infrastructure, build 2 brand new stadiums and some ancillary development, and then both the A's and Raiders would move back into brand new stadiums on that site. The A's weren't interested in doing that. In fact, one day Mark Bedane and I, after the I believe the Colony Capital deal fell apart, or it might have been the Floyd Kephart deal. Went and had lunch with Mike Crowley and Lou Wolf up at the Claremont Hotel. And we offered them the opportunity to purchase 20% of the Raiders and to do what I said about building 2 stadiums on that site. And the message from them was, and this is after they signed the 10-year lease, was that they did not want to remain on that site, especially if we were to build there, but they would love to buy 20% of the Raiders. And that was really the last time we talked with the A's about it. But My only thing was with the city was and the county was to get a answer out of the A's so we knew how to do a master plan on that site. And we never got to that point.
Mark Davis is our guest. So let's stay before this 10-year lease extension for the A's. Do you personally feel that you did enough? You talk about Lou Wolf in this meeting with Mark Bedain. Do you feel that you were engaged at this entire time? Because you have other people that represent you. You go to some of the meetings. You can't go to all of them. But deep down, because of the severity of this and how badly you wanted to be in Oakland, you told the fans you wanted to be in Oakland. Do you believe before that lease extension with the A's that you personally did enough to make it clear that you wanted to stay?
I think I did everything I could, JT. There's a myth out there that that I wouldn't put up equity to help try to drive a deal in Oakland, and that's farthest thing from the truth. I offered 20% of the team to be purchased by Colony Capital at a very reduced value. I also did the same thing for Floyd Kephart, offered 20% of the team so that a developer that came in, should the city provide us with the land through either a long-term lease at very favorable rates or some type of a sale that, again, was at very favorable rates, that we would be able to bring a developer in, and with their having been able to purchase a equity stake in the Raiders at a low value, would be able to share on both sides of the fence, and that would give us the ability to fill the funding gap that we had. The Raiders continually said that we had $500 million to put into a stadium in Oakland, and that we needed help. And we never got that help.
Mark Davis joins us, the owner of the Silver and Black. So let's go to after the Carson deal fell through. What was your mindset after the, you know, they raised your rent? You talk about that all the time, but Larry McNeil was brought in to consult and represent you because of his success with the 49ers in orchestrating Levi's Stadium. Do you believe personally by bringing him in, that at those times you were in enough meetings, you were there engaged enough with Larry McNeil, who's had success with over $5 billion of real estate transactions? Was there hope at that time for at least a short period of time after Carson fell through that you could go back to the table and negotiate again?
Timeline, are you saying Carson fell through?
Yeah, after Carson fell through, and let's go from there, because we go from you're working in Oakland now to Carson. When you set your sights on Carson, and obviously with the help and the consulting of Larry McNeil, when the deal in L.A. did not work out, and we're talking about this timeline, was there a couple of weeks, a month, where you actually thought, wow, we lost this deal in Carson with the Chargers that I thought I could make happen, that you really felt energized, or knowing the big picture here, even with Larry McNeil, you didn't think you had a shot to pull it off again?
Well, we felt we had a shot to do something up until the time that they tripled the rent on us. At that point, what it was is they pulled back on a deal. We at Mark Bedain had negotiated a 1-year lease with 2 1-year options, and it was at a fair rate. And we had a press conference before it was signed, and it was a kumbaya moment, and we said, let's get to work on a permanent deal. And a week later, I got a call from the county board of supervisor that told me, Mark, I'm sorry, but the deal that you guys negotiated is now off the table, and we're going to raise the rent 3 times. At that time, we weren't the happiest campers in the world. It wasn't really a giant raise of rent, and it wasn't something that would kill an organization, but it was just a disrespectful shot at us that we just didn't feel was right. At that point in time, in the past, I had spoken with Napoleon McCallum in Nevada. And at that point in time, I said, Napoleon, let's see if we can get this ball rolling and see what happens. It was time for me to move on and see if I could find somebody else that wanted to make a deal with the Raiders. And that's what happened.
Mark Davis is our guest, owner of the Raiders. Mark, throughout this whole process, what was Roger Goodell and the NFL advising you at this time?
The NFL, that's another myth that's really out there, is that the NFL made this thing happen for us and everything. They pushed and pushed and pushed to try to get a deal in Oakland. Even within the last year, when Larry McNeil was working on the Raiders' behalf, and the NFL with Roger Goodell Eric Grubman was the point man there. Eric was in Oakland all the time, letting them know that what you need is to have a viable and doable deal that had certainty. And the city of Oakland would never come up with it. When they first did the 10-year lease with the A's, one of the things that they championed was that if the Raiders came up with a deal, then the city had the right to have the A's leave the Coliseum site within 2 years. Well, by the time this Las Vegas proposition came up, Libby Schaap had come in to be mayor, and she was given a number of times in NFL meetings to say that she would give some finality to the A's or get an answer from the A's, and she would never do it, and she refused to let on whether she would invoke the clause that would have the A's leave. And I think that gave the NFL some concern.
Yeah, the NFL was obviously concerned, but I want to stick with this point. After the A's had that long-term contract extension through 2023, you're saying that really you had no choice at that point because of the length of that lease to start exploring other opportunities. The length of the lease at the time, with all your negotiations and your team negotiating with you, that was really the deal breaker because of the length of that, even though that there could have been a termination clause in from the city to help move the A's off that property so the NFL could go to work with you on the land and securing a football stadium there.
Correct. And the NFL told the city at the time, several times, I think, don't bring a third-party developer in between the Raiders, the league, and the Coliseum site. And for some reason, they felt that bringing in Ronnie Lott and Fortress Group was the direction that they wanted to go, despite the fact that the league continually told them not to do it.
Mark Davis joins us. Okay, let's talk more about Ronnie Lott and Fortress. I know how much you respect Ronnie. One of the greatest players. One of the greatest players of all time. What factors played into not being able for you to personally discuss the proposals directly with him and his team?
Well, we have to go back to what I was doing in Las Vegas. And at the beginning of the process, I met with the governor of Nevada. And he asked me, am I using him for leverage to get a deal done somewhere else? And I looked him in the eye and I said, Mr. Governor, I would never do that. If you come through with what you're talking about, then we're going to do everything we can to move the Raiders to Las Vegas. And so at that point in time, it wouldn't have been fair for me to start talking to somebody else about a deal while the governor was putting his political capital on the line. And then about a month or two later, he called me again back up to Reno and said, Mark, I'm getting a special legislative session in order to vote on the funds for a stadium. If you still give me your word, you're not using me as leverage. And I looked him right in the eye again, and I said, no, I'm not. And therefore, it would have been unfair. And I told Ronnie Lott that. I told him that all along. I said, you know, you can be working on this, but I can't be working on it with you because I gave my word to somebody, and I'm going to stick to it.
Mark Davis is our guest. So that's a really important point here that I'd like to follow up with. You have a deep and long relationship your father did with Ronnie Lott. How did you personally feel at that point when you had a verbal commitment with the governor of Nevada that you really couldn't get into it longer and deeper with Ronnie Lott? Because the media at that time is worked up in a frenzy saying that we have a possible deal. It's Fortress. It's the mayor. And we want Mark Davis back to the table. Do you believe, in hindsight, that you did everything possibly publicly to make it clear that you couldn't go back on your word and even go and sit down and talk about this publicly or privately with Ronnie?
I believe so. Yes, JT.
Okay, let's move on to the governor and his word there, Mark. We're talking about a lot of money. Nevada was able to pass legislation, $750 million in a tourism tax on hotel rooms. Mark, that's a tremendous amount of money, not only for Oakland, but any city in America. Was that the key moving forward, even with Sheldon Adelson and what was going to happen next and getting the loan from Bank of America that gave the owners the opinion to almost vote unanimously for you?
Well, it was definitely a big piece of the puzzle, JT. There's no question about that. It's a lot different, a city that wants a team versus a city that has a team and wants to keep it, and the efforts that are made. But the $750 million, again, is the most ever towards a sports stadium, public subsidy towards a sports stadium in America. And it was definitely a big, big piece of the puzzle.
Mark Davis is our guest. You said in the past that the Raiders are not for sale. Many people want me to ask you directly, were you ever open? And you mentioned the 20% of the stake. But when the fans, Mark, who are listening, say you're offering $500 million to this deal, Bank of America is giving you a loan, why not your money in Oakland with a similar loan from Bank of America to get that deal done and work harder with the NFL to stay in Oakland?
Well, I think we've explained a little bit about that. I've explained a little bit about that. We don't have a place to build it, JT.
Yep.
The A's have a 10-year lease on that property. We've tried to get somebody to help us either build one with the A's or build it on our own, but we do not want to build in the corner of that parking lot, and we were never going to do that. We want to build something that's going to be great, that's going to be world-class stadium, and that's going to be something that the Raiders are proud of, the NFL's proud of, and most of all our fans are proud of. And that wasn't going to happen.
Mark, let's stay with the process when Governor Sandoval vetted you and wanted to make sure that you weren't using Nevada as leverage to go back to Oakland. You made that clear from a money perspective and getting a deal done, but what about the fans in the East Bay, again, who are optimistic at this point in time? They're getting conflicting reports from the media, and that fortress could possibly work. And I think this is a really important topic here because fans are connected with you. I've seen you talk to fans for a long period of time. Did the NFL support your claim now? When they started to vet Libby Schaft and they started the NFL to vet a potential deal with Fortress or anything else that they were looking at, that even without you, that the NFL couldn't find a deal that would work for them in the city of Oakland. Does this prove that even the NFL, who tried to do a deal here, deep down didn't believe they could get a deal done in Oakland?
You said it better than I can.
Okay. Mark Davis is our guest as we continue on. What about Libby Schaft here? I want to talk about her for a second because, you know, this is complicated and these issues go far back before Mayor Schaft came into office. Do you ultimately feel that she was forced into a decision to choose between your organization and the A's?
No, I told you. I don't think it was an either-or. I do think that she walked in, the A's already had the 10-year lease, so it was a more difficult situation for her. But I don't think it was an either-or. But the one thing I want to say, JT, is Oakland was never in competition with Los Angeles, or if, in fact, there was something going on with Las Vegas. They were never in competition. The only people Oakland was in competition with was themselves. And if they could have come up with a deal that would have given us the land, either leased it or gave it to us at reasonable terms and gave us the infrastructure, and we had the ability to go out and find a developer or somebody that would fill that funding gap, we may have been able to do something on that site. Because I do believe it's a phenomenal site. I've said it all along. The site in Oakland is phenomenal. And Sundays at that stadium are the greatest. And the plans that the city is talking about doing and everything else, I think it would compromise that game day experience.
Mark, as we wrap this up here in a little bit, back to Libby Schaft, do you believe, because once she went out to talk about this to the media in a latchedish effort to try to save the team in Oakland, do you feel that you gave her enough of your own personal time to explain the severity of the Raiders' future in Oakland? At any point that we went back to in this conversation on the timeline when she came into power, because she was out there telling the fans one thing, even though your hands were already tied, you made the commitment with Governor Sandoval. Do you believe that you gave her enough access?
Well, I didn't make the commitment with Governor Sandoval until a year ago. So up until she had a whole year to work with me, and we met a number of times, and I let her know what was required to get something done there, and it never happened. But the thing I want to say is, at this point in time right now, JT, I'm not celebrating anything like I would like to be. We are going to be building a world-class stadium in the entertainment capital of the world. It's going to be great for Super Bowls and everything else. But I still have a feeling for the fans in the Bay Area, and I've met with a number of them, and anything I say to them isn't going to soothe them. And so it makes this whole thing bittersweet. And what I want the people in the Bay Area to know is that even though we are leaving to play football games in Nevada, in Las Vegas, we're not going to leave the Bay Area. We're not going to leave that community high and dry. We're still going to work with the foundations. We're going to work with the schools. And we're going to continue to give the Raider effort on Monday through Saturday, and that we've always given. And the Raider fans are the best in the world. The ones in Oakland are the best in the world. And it's a really tough time for me personally. And I'm hoping that soon I'll be able to enjoy this.
And we're wrapping it up with Mark Davis. Mark, since the vote was made official, many fans, as you know, in the Bay Area are upset and want to know why you raised season ticket prices, why they have gone up. Can you address the season ticket holders and their concerns for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I can. Number one, I would like to say that if there's any blame to be given or anybody to be mad at, it's me. It's not the players or the coaches or the staff. I'm the one who made the decision. And my dream is for us to be able to play out the next two and possibly three seasons in Oakland. And I'd like to bring a championship to Oakland. So I don't know how we're going to be able to do that, but I'm hoping that in time that emotions will dry and that we'll be able to do something of that nature.
Yeah, that's a very important point, because I personally believe that you need the support of Oakland, Los Angeles, the Central Valley, the Southwest, the global Raider Nation to make this work in Vegas. And we'll have opportunities to talk about Vegas hopefully in years to come. But what is your message to specifically the East Bay fans, the Oakland Raider fans, not only about this year, but what you would see would be a better scenario in the future, that they would feel welcome and want to come to Las Vegas and support your football team?
Well, you know, JT, that's a great question. And I've sat down with a number of fans in the last week and talked to them. And I'm still trying to figure that out. Really are. It's not an easy thing to do. But I believe I owe it to them to sit down and listen and see if there's anything that we can get where it works for everybody. But I understand that there's anger, disappointment, and I just think that it should be pointed at me and not Derek Carr, not Khalil Mack, and not the head coach, Jack Del Rio, because those guys want to bring a championship to the Bay Area.
Mark, last question. I've personally seen and heard you tell Raider fans countless times that you always wanted to stay in Oakland. Since the relocation has become official, what is your message to the Raider Nation?
Well, just that we are not going to be leaving the community, that the Raider Nation is strong, that my father always said that the greatness of the Raiders is in its future, and that we're going to be building a world-class stadium, and that we'd like for everybody in the Raider Nation to be proud of it, and we'll see where we go from there.
You seem like you're pretty excited about this team coming off a 12-win season. You didn't get a playoff win, but the job that Reggie's done and Jack Del Rio, the contract extension. One question on football. How optimistic are you for this upcoming season and the fact that you have a chance to deliver a Super Bowl to the fans of Oakland?
Well, I'm excited, and in 3 weeks we have the draft, and hopefully we'll add some pieces to the puzzle. And I'm excited about the progress that the team is making. Obviously, that's what everything we do is about. And we hope that we make the Raider Nation proud.
Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, JT.
There he is, Mark Davis, the owner of the Silver and Black on the Raider flagship, 95.7 The Game.